Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
How much time are you working on mastering the craft or creating content?
They can tell you, like, I even will go to sleep and, like, wake up, like, and I'll just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always am constantly thinking about some crazy shit.
Dog.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
How you living?
Everything good? Thanks for coming.
Sir. Yes, sir. What's good?
Nice to meet y'all boys, man.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yo, every episode, they bring a new car for the talent.
Okay.
So today we got this one for you. What you thinking of it?
Oh, man, it's mine.
Yeah, man, that's a new Camry right there for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, man.
Yeah, they think highly of you.
That's solid. That's solid, man. You know. Appreciate that, brother.
What's this?
Oh, shit.
Oh, nah, I think this one's cool.
That's the one.
That's the car.
Bring that
out, man. Drewski
in,
man. Come on.
Yeah, man. See, this is what I need. Why are you pulling that?
We told Diddy cut the check.
Ah, man.
Token our appreciation.
Oh, my gosh. Thank y'all.
That's
man.
How Drewski needs to come out.
Yeah. All right, perfect. So I'm going to take all these home. I'm still going to flip that one.
Drewski.
What's up, man?
The legend himself.
Yeah, you know it. That's what they say sometimes. Man. How y'all doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you?
You know, living good, feeling good.
How's tour life treating you?
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
Something you can get used to.
Yeah. You know, it's all new, but just going through the motions, like I said, like, it's just a lot of repetitive nights. It's like the show. Club after the, you know, meet and greets, all that is like, it turns into a real job, you know what I'm saying?
So, the show, the hotel, the after party.
You charging $1,000 for the.
I didn't say that.
You charging $1,000 for the pictures too?
Nah, I ain't there yet. Soon, but I ain't there.
He's about to eat the $50 package.
Yeah.
$50 package.
A little different, man. He's you know, Chris Brown, a sex symbol, man, but. I like to look at myself as the same, but levels of
sex symbol.
Yeah, it's levels.
That's a fact.
Nah, man, but I'm proud of you, man. Rockstar. Like you traveling, you on tour, corporate sponsorships.
Yes.
But I want to bring it back to the beginning. So, how did it originally start, and when did you realize this was something that you could just take from being funny to actually making a career out of?
I think honestly, I started off just doing stuff at my mom's crib, you know, using what I had to, which was like an iPhone and like whatever outfits or stuff I had to, like if I was doing a country character, if I was doing a girl character, if I was doing whatever I was doing, I just was using my mom's house as a set. So I would just literally try to do the funniest shit at the time that could like entertain people around my age or around like what my own world was literally only Atlanta at the time. So I was like, all right, let me just see if I could get like 10K followers or get close to like 100K, try to entertain, be funny. And it just slowly grew, but it took about 4 or 5 years. And you know, now we're here and I've done so much stuff, man. And to know that it's possible just from like a phone, like I know a lot of people be like, they'll be like, yo man, I need a team, I need this, I need that. But all that's gonna come as long as you know, it comes with whatever you're doing. So I think you just got to stay down, man. I just used everything that I had.
Just like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Just get the iPhone, just started, yeah, just man. On Instagram.
About 4.5 years ago, yeah.
Trapping off the iPhone.
Yeah, man.
What the original plan was?
See how you try to flip stuff, man?
Gotta watch this guy, man.
You gotta watch this dude, man. No trapping off the iPhone, man. I'll never do that.
The original plan was to be a sportscaster? Is that true?
Yeah. That's very true, man. I went to Georgia Southern University. And I tried to be a sportscaster, and I was cussing too much, man. I tried to be on the little sports radio they had up there, and they was like, man, you need to do something else. This ain't really, I don't know if this is gonna work out for this, but it was just me just trying stuff. It was just trial and error, man. Just learning and knowing, like, what I'm good at and what I'm not. But yeah, after I came back home, I was like, yo, I think comedy, this shit gonna be it. I was making people laugh since I was a kid. I just really just locked in. I was like, what is the best thing I can do? Like, what do I know I'm talented at? And I was like, I make people laugh all the time. Yeah. I'm gonna be a comedian. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
What was the first time you got paid? Like, what was the first? Was it an Instagram ad? Or like, what was your first time you got paid for comedy?
I think I got like $40-$50 Cash App for like posting a promotion on my Instagram story or something. Yeah, it was something like very small, but you know, I just kept doing them. And I went on tour with Jack Harlow very early on before me and him even like popped off. Like I think Puff had posted Jack on his page, and I checked Jack out and I was like, yo, who is this dude? He said he lives in Kentucky or whatever. And I hit him up. He was like, yo, it's crazy, I'm a fan of yours. We only had like a couple hundred thousand followers, like barely anything, maybe just only 100,000. And I was like, yeah, man, yeah, I'm a fan of yours too. Like, this is crazy, you could rap. He was like, bro, I be watching your comedy, you're hilarious. And I was like, where do you live? You live in Kentucky, right? And he's like, nah, I live in Atlanta. Sends me his location. I was like, yo, we should link up. Dude lives like 2 minutes down the street from me. I'm like, what? So I link up with him that day and I was like, yo, so what you got going on? He said, I'm about to go on this small tour or whatever. I actually was looking for a host, and I'm like, all right, I'll try to do that. I could try to do that. You know what I'm saying? I had never done nothing on stage, live, nothing. This is like late 2018, maybe. And yeah, he was like, yeah, you should come on and be a host. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Go on the road with him by myself and like his small crew. We were like tight in the bus, like maybe like 10, 12 of us in this little tiny bus, you know what I'm saying? Going to all these different states. Then we went to Toronto, we went to the Portland, Oregon, we went to all these places, and only like, you know, like a couple, maybe a couple hundred people, maybe just 100 people would come out. And we used to have these talks on the tour bus, like, yo, when we make it, like, we're gonna go big, man. Like, we used to really like lock in like late at night and be like, bro, I can't wait. Like, we just had all these goals that we would talk about. And it's crazy to see both of us transcending and just going up now. It's just like wild to watch, man. It's like, damn, we really talked about this stuff at once at a time, man.
So the original skits, they were based off impersonations, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I know you locked in and studied, you know, comedians from the past. So who was the motivation before you were making the skits? Like, what were you watching that inspires you to do it?
I was watching a lot of Cedric the Entertainer Presents growing up, but my mom would put on a lot of stuff like that, or she'll put on like Will Ferrell movies, like What About Bob. She would put on all types of different stuff that I thought was like hilarious, like in Living Color. Yeah, and I just would always think it's funny. My dad would watch like more of like the raw stuff, like Dave Chappelle. So I would like try to sneak and watch clips of that. So yeah, I was just inspired by that type of stuff, man. And when I was at Georgia Southern and I was let down by like them telling me like maybe I shouldn't do like sports radio and maybe it's not for me and stuff, I started watching like a lot of those Steve Harvey clips where he was talking about like that feeling you get when you know you're just gonna, like, you know something is for you. And I was like, damn, I kind of feel that feeling. I just don't know. So I just was watching clips of like Will Smith, and they all would say the same thing that I was feeling in my head. I'm like, this may be what I'm experiencing, you know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, all she wrote from then, you know.
So you said earlier a lot of times people have the misconception that they need a social media team and all that.
Yeah.
But eventually you built a team. Mm-hmm. So at what point did you go from doing everything yourself to actually start investing and building a team? And like, what's some of the first people that you actually started to hire?
Yeah, some of the first people I started to hire was like my own like guys around me. And well, the ones that would I knew were like could be an asset to me, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and I think it was just a smart move because I was like, yo, how can I do all this on my own? You know what I'm saying? So I ran into somebody named Johnny Shipes in New York a while back when I only had like 100,000 followers, just like a quick little friendship here.
100,000 followers, a lot of followers.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I wasn't, yeah, I don't know who I am.
Minimal.
I think I had nothing.
Yeah, it was like 200,000. Yeah, but it's still like, I mean, in like an Instagram kind of world, you're not a big deal. Like, I was just, those 100,000 followers were like local and like in Atlanta. So, yeah, my current manager, Johnny Shipes, had reached out. And he was like, yo, you should come up to New York, whatever. And I didn't really know him, I didn't trust him. I was like, yeah, I'll come up there, just chop it up. So it took like us a year to just hang out and like get to know each other. And all these deals started to come through. I remember I had, Drake had hit me up and was like, yeah, you should be a part of this Laugh Now, Cry Later video. And I was like, all right, bet. And I just didn't have anybody for him to.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Talk to. You know what I'm saying? And like, they were like, yo, so who do my people talk to get the plane, the money? I'm like, damn, is all this coming in? Like, I don't know who the fuck to talk
call,
to.
Call my mom.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
wait, we can't just breeze. He randomly called you? Like, how does that happen? How'd you?
Yeah, no. I think I knew that he was like watching a couple of the clips that I had posted. I had posted some funny videos that I saw he liked. And then other people were telling me that he had, they have just had conversations with him, like, yo, he thinks you're super funny or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what's up. That's crazy. And he DM'd me and then asked me where I was at, you know, and like, would I be available to be in a big video that he was about to shoot? And it was crazy, man. But yeah, I think that was like the first day I was like, all right, Johnny Shipes is going to be my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I don't have anybody else that I trust. And I was like, yeah, I really trust this dude. He does a lot of good business. He found Nipsey Hussle. And I was like, okay. Let's do this, you know what I'm saying? And from then, I brought like a couple of my boys, Chauncey and Solo, with me up there, and I started to notice what they were good at, you know? Chauncey being a very creative and funny person, and that can write comedy and is like a genius, you know what I'm saying? So hired him to be on my team, hired Solo. He was like super on point to be my day-to-day. So like these are like my real friends I grew up with, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, them and then Giant just running like the business side. Yeah, that's just how it started, you know? And that's how like the team just started developing. But yeah, I think you always gotta invest in yourself. That was my first investment, was investing into my own team, yeah.
So that takes time, right?
Yeah, it takes time. That's what I was saying. Like, yeah. A lot of people think to make it, oh, I gotta have this team. No, yeah. you don't need that from jump. That comes with everything that you're doing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so even in order to invest in yourself, you have to actually acquire money,
yeah,
right? And so you are able to leverage your social media presence too, mm-hmm, to that. And we see a lot of social media comedians,
yeah,
and they can't figure out how to monetize.
Yeah.
And so that's a process in itself. But I want to talk about the creative process, right? Because you have to, I mean, I'm imagining you're writing these skits and you're creating them and you're producing them. So what was that creative process like for you? And then how did you turn it into something like, all right, I can monetize?
I like real life like comedy, so I think the biggest thing for me with creating like some of the content that I create is like going through things. So I don't like to be in places where I'm too like sheltered or can't experience real life emotion, or like I like to be around like real shit. Like, if we going to the hood, nigga, fuck it, we going to the hood. You know what I'm saying? If we going to this white college party, let's go. I want to experience it. Like, I want to see this stuff. So as I'm just like a big person that just, I'm like a people watcher, you know what I'm saying? So I just always like study like people's like movements, how conversation goes, you know, like eye contact, just stuff like that. And I just pick up stuff easily, like really quick. And I can like copy that same like behavior, you know what I'm saying? So I just always thought it was funny that I could do stuff like that. And so yeah, just experiencing real life is like the best way to do comedy for me. That's how I feel about it.
So how's the transition been from starting on Instagram, but now actually performing in front of 20,000 people on like, that's kind of a mix. Cause that's interesting because it's not even like that stand-up comedy. That's yeah. almost like a performance.
Yeah.
So how has that transition been for you?
It's not easy. I think that's another trial and error thing that we had to go through. I'm glad I started early, even going on the road with Jack and not having too many fans being out there, just so I could fuck up in front of just 100 people. You know what I'm saying?
But
I
go out in front of all these people.
But yeah, I also hosted J. Cole's tour. That was another learning experience. We learned from that, and now I'm doing like stand-up and, you know, a performing act on Chris Brown and Lil Baby's tour right now. So, but yeah, I think it's very different from social media, and I think you really gotta learn. Like a lot of people, and you know, a lot of older comedians don't really respect that, how we start off different from how they started off. You know, a lot of comedians now start off on social media. A lot of comedians then start off on the stage and then you get on screen. So it's like complete opposite effect now. But I think I've been able to, you know, balance the right thing. I've talked to a lot of the OGs in comedy and they've given me like good tips on like just how to handle all this, you know?
Yeah. So what are those, some of the things you learned? Obviously you started out with Jack and it's 100 people.
Yeah.
And then you do the J. Cole thing and now you got 20,000 people and now you're with Chris and Baby, 20,000. So obviously the preparation is different. Yeah. The demand is different. Mm-hmm. Some of the sacrifices are going to be moving out now are different. What are some of those things that you learned?
I learned that the crowd for certain performing acts are very different. Like you go to some of these places like Boston, you know, it's a lot of fucking white people in that crowd. You know what I'm saying? These jokes that you may do in D.C., Atlanta, Miami might not go in Boston, or you go to fucking Portland, Oregon, you know what I'm saying? It might not go the same there. So as they may know this person's music, as a comedian, you got to know that what your audience is, and you never want to switch up who you are. Like I'm still the same person. I'm not switching anything up, but you just know what jokes hit, what jokes don't in certain areas and places. I think that's one thing I had to learn, though, is just adapting to.
Is the writing the same, or is there a team that you're writing with? Because I know a lot of times comedians have a team to do it.
Yeah. Like I said, my close personal dudes that I'm around that work with me and my friends. We created like this whole writing team. So we created For Lifers. For Lifers is like the business where everything, it's like the umbrella business where everything is under that. Even Could Have Been Records, all that is under For Lifers. So it's like a production company. And anybody that works with me or works for me, we're all part of For Lifers, you know? And that involves writing, that involves TV scripts, movie scripts, clothing brand, Could Have Been Records, all that under that.
So that, did you get that model from anybody? Like Kevin Hart, something like that? Like,
yeah, that's crazy that you just said that. That's crazy you just said that. I was talking to him yesterday.
Okay.
And you know how Instagram reminds you stuff that you posted years ago on like the same day today?
Yeah.
Yesterday I had got a notification from Instagram. It was like 4 years ago today you posted this. And it was like a post where I posted Kevin Hart and I was like, big, real motivation. And I was like, soon, at Kevin Hart, soon. And I screenshotted that Instagram hit me up and I sent it to Kevin Hart and he was like, man, it's crazy. He was like, you know, I've just been watching you and you, as long as you continue to work hard and do, he just gave me a lot of good advice. And I was just like, I sat back and was like, damn, this is like wild to even have this conversation with him. And for him to know that he's watching and that all this has come to the, it's just, you could speak a lot of stuff into existence, man.
Yeah, because that reminds me of what, Heartbeats production, right?
Yeah. I was gonna say the crazy part is that we were actually with him yesterday.
Yeah, that's ironic too, as movie premiere. Shout out to Kevin.
Shout out to Kevin.
But yeah, so like, because that's a, you know, a good corporate structure.
Yes.
Somebody helped you set that up or you just kind of just put it together
yourself? Yeah, I have So Johnny Shipes introduced me to some people named Noah and Druha that work with him on a lot of business stuff that he does. So they helped me run like the whole For Lifers and the business setup of things. But yeah, we moving, man. But I would definitely say Kevin Hart is one of those motivations like that showed, kind of paved the way on how to create your business and ownership and like owning rather than going and giving yourself to another company, you know? Yeah. So yeah, with movies and stuff, you know, a lot of people did a lot of great movies and TV shows that may not be getting that money that you might see them on TV every single day and they may not ever see what you think they're getting from being seen on TV every day, you know? They might be getting like a 1%, 2% of that, and somebody else somewhere else that didn't even act or create in the show has ownership over that, you know?
So what was that process like for you, right? Because at a certain point, you're starting from social media, but like you're on stage. How do you determine the price? Are you, is the business manager saying like, I think-
He wanna know the price. You see, you gotta take a sip of water because you know where he going with it. You know what he's doing, man.
It's tricky, right? Like, how do you know what to charge?
What's the price, man? What's the number you're at right now?
Uh-huh. Or is he advising you saying, you know what, based on, you know, your followers, based on your reach, based on your audience, this is the area we should be in? Like, are you involved in those discussions?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Yeah, no, don't nothing go through nobody but me. It could have been records, man. CEO. I'm in all those conversations, and I'm still learning. But yeah, they've taught me a lot on how to like, I just listen a lot, even in Zoom meetings that may not even have anything to do with me. Like when they tell me like, yo, you don't even have to be in the Zoom meeting. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna be in it. I wanna hear what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Just learning just how to speak, how some of these companies will tell you one thing and have a whole bunch of money that you may not know about, you know, that could have been sent to you. And you know, so yeah, it's a lot that comes with it, but just learning. I'm still learning though, I'm not perfect.
So you did a lot of brand partnerships. We got the NBA, NFL, KFC, AT&T, a bunch of others.
To name a few.
Yeah. So talk about, you know, a couple of those.
Pepsi.
Pepsi, Mountain Dew.
How was it? How did those develop? How did those come about?
Just good relationships with people, man. And just, I think just working hard. A lot of these people that I'll meet at some of these like functions and stuff, I'd just be like hanging out, joking around with them. Like, yeah, man, so I'm the CEO of Coca-Cola. They'd be like, damn, see, I was just roasting you yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So just having good relationships with people and I think working hard, I've run into a lot of these people through just natural, just, you know, situations, and it's been a blessing. But yeah, that's why I tell you, good networking, and you know, you don't have to over network, because some people be trying to think that they got to be in, you don't have to be in every single function, you don't have to overshow your face and stuff, but definitely just do good business with everybody, show appreciation to the small people in the room, the big people in the room, talk to people. Yeah, I think all that mixed together. I was just taught early about that type of stuff. My mom used to always tell me respect the janitor in the room just like how you respect the teacher, or just how you respect your friend, or, you know, the president of the school, whatever it may be. So just learning that from a young age, I do that everywhere I go, you know? Yeah, so I feel like that's got me into a lot of these rooms.
You said that it takes a lot of hard work, and I think it could be misconstrued, right? Yeah. Because it's comedy, so everything feels like
people always think
it's fun and games,
yeah,
right?
It's funny that you say that, because people be like, yeah, you just be bullshit, man. <All day. laughs> I'm like, nah, this shit ain't easy, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree with you. It's definitely hard work put in behind the scenes.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to think, because it feels like it's fun and games, but, you know, we're kind of in this space, so we know, like, the amount of time that you have to be away from family. So how much time are you working on mastering the craft and spending or creating content? Because I know one of the things we talk about a lot is documenting the process.
Yes.
And so what's that like for you?
Honestly, like my friends that stay with me at the house we stay in, like they could tell you, like I even will go to sleep and like wake up and I'll just like, you know what I'm saying? Like I always am constantly thinking about some crazy shit. It's crazy because I really be like that. Like I'll have like an idea or something, or I'll just constantly, like my brain is constantly thinking about what I could be doing next. Like always. And I don't know why that is, but I'm never like satisfied with like that one thing. Like I might feel accomplished. Like, just like I said, I had a great show yesterday And I felt like that was the funniest show I did on the Chris Brown Lil Baby tour was yesterday when we were in the Bay. But I still, even after the show, I was like, all right, this is something I can, it's something else I could, something could be funnier in that set. I could have done this, I could have done that better. So we were just watching the film from it, just watching to see what I could have done funnier, what I could have done better. So yeah, I think that right there, and just, they don't see the countless hours of the writing the material, coming up with this new material and studying, you know, just scripts and, you know, people don't even see the stuff that never came out or went wrong or went bad. The auditions that I've had to do, I did like hundreds of auditions that I didn't get. I just finally got into my first movie with Will Packer and Tina Gordon. She's a director, and of course y'all know Will Packer. Yeah, with Chloe Bailey, we're doing a...
Praise This?
Yeah, Praise This. Praise This. So it's a pretty big movie, man. And I think, yeah, it's going to be great. But yeah, after all those auditions, I get the role that I didn't even audition for. You know? But yeah, so like, just still got to, it's always a process, and it never stops. So when people be like, how, like, we know you just be bullshitting, you just be fucking around. It's really like, bro, this is like a grind. Like, you really always have to, it's always something going on. And you kind of never just want to get overshadowed by stuff. Like, I think you talk to some people that don't really, like, respect you in the business, you know, and these deals will sometimes be thrown at you. You'd be like, damn, they really, like, tried to lowball me right there. And you might talk to one of your colleagues or somebody else in the same comedy space, and you see how much they might have got for that. You're like, oh, okay, I see how y'all doing me. But it's just learning, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, could have been records.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Take a sip of wine.
The CEO is here.
Ah. Well, well, well. Nah, could have been records is, man, it has come a long fucking way, man. That was something I started as just like a talent show on Instagram. And I had like a couple thousand people on there, maybe. Maybe just a couple hundred starting out. I didn't have too many people. And people were just coming on there just doing random stuff. And then I started calling it Could Have Been because it was a lot of people that just sucked at shit. I'm like, God damn, it could have been something. You know, it could have happened, but, you know. But yeah, I even started, I own a football team called Should Have Been Stars. A lot of piss poor talent on there. You know? They're not the best athletes, but they're all right. It should have been Stars, man. So it's a good league, though. My first year was last year owning that team. It's very fun, for real.
So I wanted to ask you about the team, but so the record. So you started off, but it kind of turned into something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's a new form. It's another form of content.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, what's your plans with that?
Man, we got so many big plans. We're actually pitching Could Have Been Records as a TV show right now to like some of the biggest networks. Like, honestly, like, we have been in meetings with some of the biggest networks, and I don't even know if I can I speak on this.
Yeah, nobody's listening. Like,
he's like, I don't know. But yeah, so yeah, I'll just say that. But yeah, Could Have Been Records has turned into like a real music label. We've got some of the biggest labels trying to offer us deals to just join, just to have a place for these certain artists that I'm bringing to have these record deals, because these dudes are like have a life of their own. So we started this, and I think it was so much virality behind it, like millions of tweets. I'll see like my name and Could Have Been Records be like the number one trending names in the U.S. after I go live. You know, 200,000 people live at once watching Could Have Been Records. So it's just been crazy. But I would always watch the people that hopped on and did like this crazy, whatever they did, they were dancing, singing, yeah. The dude with the shit in the toilet, whatever. And I would watch their pages, and these people would really have like a fan base going to follow them after the live is over. Like, the whole thing will be over and I'll still follow them just to watch. And I'll see like fans coming up to them, they'll be recording, like they'll go to the mall or something, and like, oh my God, you're the dude from Could Have Been Records. Like, and these people, like, I remember one dude went and got a Could Have Been Records chain, is a fake bullshit chain. It wasn't worth shit, man. But like, just me noticing how far it can go. You know, I'm like, damn, this is like a real thing. So we started getting like labels hitting us up about deals. So yeah, it's a lot of things in the works. But yeah, it's really turned into something serious, and it's like a real business for lifers.
When I first started watching it, I'm like, I thought at first you were just trying to create more content. And then I'm watching, I'm like, yo, this is America's Funniest Home Videos. like America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Or like one of them Star Search type shows. And I'm like, wait, this is really going somewhere. Yeah. So like the fact that you're saying that networks are picking it up, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. That wasn't the vision, but a lot of times when you create a vision, it changes. And so like—
Agreed. I feel like that's what happened. I would always watch American Idol. And you remember the dude, like the Asian dude, She Bang?
Yeah, right.
So we would watch, my family, I don't know about everybody else, but my family would always watch American Idol for the fuck-ups, like the auditions, and we would just laugh at that. So I would always love that, and I started to notice, like, even on the people that were fans of American Idol, they would love that side of the show. So I'm like, yo, what if the whole show was just that? And never really, like, some of the, because, you know, people are still talented that come into Kudrin Records, but it's like a mind fuck because I may not even like the dude who's super. I might pick this dude right here over that dude just because of his personality. So it's never about the music, man. It could have been records. It's always about something else. And I think that's the beauty in it for real. It's giving these people that may not have everything together, not just quite. It might not be all up there in the head, but man, it's a beautiful thing. And I think it gives them a platform to shine. It really is, because we've had some people on there where it was like a real, like, come around moment where it was like a, like, you know, like, damn, I really felt that right there. I think we had a dude, he came on, he was doing backflips and stuff. He was dancing to B2K.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it got real crazy.
That was crazy.
And and everybody was fucking with him. We had so many people in there. And he had came out and said that he had a disability. I don't remember the exact disability he had. And he was just so thankful. He had like made a video after. It was like, I'm just so thankful. This is so crazy. This is a huge moment. And I think it was autism.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Devin here from Money Honeys. If you're a fan of learning about your business and finances through storytelling and pop culture, then you gotta be sure to check out and subscribe to Money Honeys, a show that covers the nitty-gritty of maintaining your personal wealth through fun conversation. And you know what? It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
Certain type of autism, and he was just like, it's so crazy, and like, this was such a great moment. For me, my family, that we're like so happy about this. And I was like, man, this is really, like, it almost made me tear up for real. Like, he really was like just excited. He still hits me up today and I just be checking up on him. And like, he's like a funny dude, bro. He be dancing and like, he knows. It's so crazy how smart this dude is and like how talented he is, bro. Like, he be playing guitar and like really like killing it though. Like, not just like, he really like, bro, I y'all got to see some of this stuff this dude does. But yeah, he's very talented. So it just showed also that it's a great vision behind Kudrin Records. It's not just, you know, just always playing around.
So let's talk about the football team. So yeah, man. The football team comes after Kudrin Records, mm-hmm. inspired by Kudrin Records.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into mm-hmm. that. Did you play football?
Yeah, I played football when I was younger. Yeah.
What position?
Fullback.
Fullback?
Yeah, pretty fast, man.
I would have put you on the line. I would have thought you were going on the line.
Damn, bro. Try to make you a tackle.
No. You don't see too many 6'4 fullbacks.
You ain't lying.
In the Drake video?
How tall are you?
I'm like 6'2.
Nah, you taller than me.
Might be the shoe. No. But I think we were trying to come up with a team name after they gave me the ownership of the team. And I was like, we got to use Could Have Been. But I didn't want to just use Could Have Been because we already created that. I was like, something that like just goes with the same brand under something else. So we came up with Should Have Been Stars.
What's the league?
FCF. FCL.
Fan
Control.
Fan Control.
League.
Fan Control League.
Yeah. So, I think it's FCFL. Fan Control Football League. Yeah.
So they gave it to you? Or there was no purchase in that?
No, it was, hey, come on now.
You are who you are.
Hey, come on. There's some money behind that.
So, but even
no,
that.
But not even it's the money. It ain't always about the money, man. You always got to have equity in something.
That's the key.
So it ain't about just the money that they give to you up front. Yeah, so yeah, it's definitely a good deal that we got going on over there.
Yeah, it makes sense. They, you know, you have a brand, you can leverage your brand.
So are like the, but is there talent on the team?
Should have been talent.
We had some players. They all right.
Weekend Warriors.
Should have been talent. Yeah. I was out there with them. I was trying to get them right, man. But that's one of those things. They
should have been. Even that process, right? Mm-hmm. Could have been, should have been. Mm-hmm. These are synonymous with you. Was trademarking something that you had to learn about, or was somebody advising you like, hey, every time you have an idea, please don't say it. Let's trademark it before. Is that something you had to learn?
Nah, because my dad used to nail this stuff into my head when I was younger, bro. Like, all, everything, like, he would always make me think about, like, the most far-fetched shit, like, early on. Like, I'm, like, 7. He's like, what do you want to do with your life? Don't say football or sports. I'm like, what the fuck? I just want to play fucking NFL football. Like, I don't fucking know. I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? But he would pressure us. Like, and so I started like looking up shit that made money. I was like, I want to be a lawyer. And I'm thinking he's gonna shut up. He's like, what type of lawyer? You know, there's hundreds of different lawyers. There's a lot of lawyers. What type of? So it would be to the point where like he drills it so hard, you're sitting there crying. You're like, fuck this shit, man. Like, I don't want to do anything. So he was one of those people that would teach us about stuff early on about everything, and that a lot of shit stuck now later in life that I remember these speeches about that I thought I didn't care about, but now it all makes sense, you know. So it's stuff that just stuck with me.
So what's about the merch? For life is what's the deal with the merch, and what was your vision for the merch?
I think at first we wanted to be merch. Now we're kind of going into like the fashion side, to where we just wanted to be like a lifestyle type brand, you know? And I kind of wanted it to get away from, because a lot of people were putting out like merch with like their face on it and stuff on like social media. I was like, I want something that people are actually gonna like rock, you know what I'm saying? Like that they will actually wear and like support just cause. And it doesn't, cause you know, some of the best brands have like separated from the person, you know, like to where you forget who that this is this, it. Right. You forget who owns it. That's just kind of like the vision where I wanted to be at. But yeah, it all started off as merch at first, but now I hired a team to where they working on some fire stuff coming out, man.
And the original process was that you were creating the designs for it?
Yeah. Like, originally, it was just me, Johnny, Chauncey, just like my close people at first. We were working on just dropping stuff, but now I've hired a whole team to just take care of all of that.
Yeah. And so now it becomes an incentive, right? Like, so mm-hmm. when you go on the road, you can bring this with you, right? Just having multiple streams.
Yeah. We actually just seeded it out to Lil Baby and Chris Brown yesterday on the tour, so they'll probably start wearing it on stage. Oh. Yeah.
Dope. So let's talk about the content. So you started on Instagram. Then you have show Revolt, shout out to Revolt.
Yeah.
But you're doing indie films now. So where do you see your career headed? Is it more towards movies, TV? Where would you like to position yourself?
I can't even position myself. No, we everywhere. We everywhere. We're working on a TV show that we're about to close with FX right now. I can't speak too much on that I know of, but yeah, we're about to close the show with FX, and it's gonna be pretty big. It's gonna be a big deal. And we're working on a lot of independent films. Like, we sit and like, I have a big whiteboard at the house where I just like sit and work on like stuff and ideas and throw up ideas about movies, TV, any ideas I have. And then we break it down and like make a whole nother whiteboard of how do we see this movie looking? How does it pan out? What are the characters in it? And you know, just, yeah, we working on a lot of different stuff, man. But
so definitely, you're in the directing. You're in the directing seat,
but not just yet, brother. You gotta get a foot in the game. Yeah. Not just yet, but I definitely learned a lot from Tina Gordon. I was just on set with her for a couple months with Chloe Bailey shooting that film, and she's a goat, man. She's a genius. She did ATL, I think Drumline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she directed those films. She's good, man. She's good.
So do you ever see yourself, I know now you're hosting shows, right? Mm-hmm. You're opening, almost like an opening act, but really hosting it in a sense. Do you ever see yourself becoming just the headline in itself, and now you're the person that everybody's coming to see?
We actually just signed a seven figure deal, almost eight figures for my own tour 2023. So almost a 10, in the, almost in the tens of millions for 2023 tour, almost.
Almost.
We're just signing. Hey,
congratulations.
Totally, we coming now.
Laughed out proudly.
Nah. Hey, chill out, man. Chill out, man. Chill. I'm about to get up out of here. I'm talking prices.
So, do you ever find it like when you're obviously extremely intelligent and you seem like a very organized person. So in meetings, is it always reciprocated that way? Or since you're a comedian, do you think people kind of lead with laughter sometimes? And, mm-hmm. and does that bother you, or are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it, because I even in the meetings that we have, I tend to make people laugh regardless. But when we talk about business, it's all serious, I think. But yeah, I like it to be like a calm feeling, even if we're negotiating something with another company or another brand deal or something. I like to like make everybody laugh. But when we're talking about money,
Shade's going on.
Get serious, man. But yeah, it doesn't bother me though.
What's your advice for, because like Troy said earlier, there is a lot of, you kind of broke the mold, but there's a lot of Instagram comics who reached a high level of success on Instagram, but still trying to figure out how they can actually make money from their talent. Mm-hmm. What would be your advice to somebody that's like, you know, on Instagram, just trying to figure out the business side of it?
I would honestly say invest in yourself, man. Like, a lot of people are scared to take whatever money they made and they try to go and get, you know, clothes or jewelry or, you know, just a lot of different stuff. I say invest everything into yourself, man. Try to, if you need anything, like if you need a camera, if you want to start doing something, just invest into yourself. Because if you're already there, you have the means, you know what I'm saying? Like, and even if it's not money, you can literally use whatever you have around you. Like, I know some of the biggest, this dude named Cole Bennett, he's a director, and he has like, he got offered like $100 million or $200 million for his company, Lyrical Lemonade. So he's like doing big shit. So he has cameras and that, all this different stuff, like some of the best cameras in the game. But he insists on using an iPhone to shoot his music videos now, just to prove to people who aren't doing this stuff that, yo, you can use your own stuff. So I'd say the same thing, even if you don't have the money to invest in yourself at the time, use your iPhone, bro. I use my iPhone, I use my mom's house. I was flipping couches upside down to get that high angle of myself. You know what I'm saying? I had a skit where I was acting like I was being interrogated, and I wanted the camera angle to be in like the corner of the room, like a police camera, investigation camera, mm-hmm. and I like flipped the sofa, put the phone all the way up there, tried to make it tilt down a little, you know what I'm saying? Used the pillow, just like, yeah, bro, I was using everything. It's possible, man, it's possible.
So as you, you know, eight-figure deals.
Almost.
So we hear a lot of stories of, especially entertainers, athletes, they get large sums of money and then they squander it because they don't have a foundation in financial fluency or financial literacy. And so I wonder, are there opportunities that you're seeing outside of entertainment for yourself? Are you investing in real estate? Are you investing in the market? Are those opportunities being brought to you, or are you being educated on them?
Yeah, I'm definitely being educated. I have I hired a financial team just to make sure I don't make any big mistakes with just overly spending or making sure they like create these diagrams where they show me how much you spent here. Do you want to do this? Like, and he also teaches me about like what I should invest in. Not saying I have to, but he'll be like, if you do this, this could happen, and this could happen. If you want to do Bitcoin, if you want to do crypto, if you want to do whatever, this could happen. And just showing me about, you know, real estate and everything. So I haven't made the big jump yet to do that, but I'm still like learning about everything. But I definitely, that's exactly what I want to do. I want my money to make money, man. We ain't trying to work forever, you know?
Yeah, you work for the money, you work for you.
Yeah.
So. Is the goal to have other comedians under your umbrella?
Yeah, for sure. I love the way Eddie Murphy and like how they did like the movie Life and like how they all came together, even though all of them might not have been seeing eye to eye, but they all came together. Because, you know, comedy is one of those things where it's like super competitive, and it's real spicy in comedy. Like, like you fuck with this person, but it's like, And me personally, I don't move like that. I want everybody to come together. It's a competition, but it's still like, I love other comedians because they can make me laugh. But yeah, it's like it's spice and comedy, man. But I love the way they brought the movie Life together and how they did that. I would definitely want to do a movie like that.
If we had to do that, let's just say in SH, you know, they had the Kings of Comedy. Mm-hmm. If you could do it, who are you bringing? Who are the other three people you bringing?
Hey, now. Yeah.
Hot seat.
Hey, now. Hey, now.
I mean, don't disrespect anybody. Hey, now.
Shit.
This is a new generation.
See what they asking up here. Oh, man. I don't want to leave nobody out, man. It's kind of like...
That's political.
Yeah, that's political. I don't like answering that question because it just... Oh, my God.
Who are some of your favorite from the new generation?
DC Young Fly. He's definitely up there. I like this young dude that he just be wilding out. MK Slat. Y'all ever heard about him?
Nah, I ain't heard about him.
Bro, he's...
On Instagram?
Dumb. He's just wild. He's like, I can't even describe like his energy. His energy is kind of like who's the dude who did the mask?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Bro, he's like insane like that.
Do you stay up to date with new comics to kind of know what's relevant, or are you just on your own zone when it comes to creating? You don't want to get influenced by other people.
Yeah, I don't like to watch too much of somebody because it does rub off. If you study somebody too hard, I like to do my own thing, and I like collabing with other comedians too. You know, it's always fun to bring your minds together. You know,
yeah. I'm trying to even think now. Where would you watch comedy? I know when we
Instagram.
That's the only place now to consume it. Mm-hmm. So, obviously you did Instagram, but then you.
But there's also you know like Wildin' Out.
Yeah, Wildin' Out. I was gonna say Wildin' Out is one of those platforms.
YouTube, you got 85 South.
Yeah, I was about to say 85 South. All of them.
Are you and have you gone into the comedy circuit? Like you're doing comedy, the Laugh Factory or the comedy? Like
oh no, I haven't gone into that comedy circuit yet. No,
not yet.
I want to though.
Yeah,
I want to.
That'll be a vibe.
Yeah, that's what a lot of. I mean, because a lot of people when they're trying to create new material, the first place they do it's almost like how you were hosting in front of 100 people. It was like, let me test this out. Let's see if it works before I go to the big stage. Mm-hmm. And so I know that's one of the patterns that even like when Nick Cannon was talking to us, he said that he would use that, and Kevin definitely does that. And even Dave Chappelle.
How you feel about Nick Cannon comedy?
His comedy?
Yeah.
I think he's super talented.
No, I said how you feel about comedy. I don't know if I
consider Nick a comedian. I look at him as more as a businessman that curates.
Agreed.
What made you ask that question?
You see how you try to do me.
Shout out to Nick Cannon.
Nick is a good guy, man.
So let me ask you this. The name of the show is Assets Over Liabilities, right?
Yeah.
So what is the best asset that you've purchased? What's the best use of your money so far? And what's one thing that you spent money on where you thought about it like, damn, why did I do this?
Probably should have done that one.
The best thing I spent money on was investing into my own team. The thing that I've spent too much money on is probably like Airbnbs and like flying and shit, man. Bro, it is insane, like for real. Like but I mean, it's all back to the business though. It goes back to the business expenses because anytime we get an Airbnb, it has to do something with making money, you know what I'm saying?
Right
off. That week or whatever, yeah. So, but yeah, I spent a lot of money on that in taxes last year. Learn about that. That was my first year paying taxes, like real
level,
taxes,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On that level, and that.
How was that for you, like, you like call your accountant like
you spend it and you like oh okay I'm good man like I still got this amount I'm like all right I'm scrolling I'm like oh we good man
like
and they hit me with that
let's figure it out boy, call your accountant.
Boy.
Yeah you like that's somebody's social security or that's my tax bill
redo a redo
yeah they're not
let's try it again
and it's crazy because they don't care if you already spent it
yeah but that's what people don't fully understand either because it's like the most people they work a regular job and the taxes get taken out of their paycheck.
Yeah.
But it's like in our world, or like, you know,
it's way different.
You don't get taxed. Mm-hmm. So like you said, I mean, you know, if you're not paying taxes quarterly and you make millions of dollars and then it's like, all right, your bill is 1.5 million. You might've already spent the money.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have 1.5. So it's like that. So people don't understand how entertainers can fall into tax trouble, but it's really not that difficult. Especially if you're not fully educated on like, yo, save your money, save this every time. you're not really thinking about it.
Okay. Damn, I just thought of another comedian's name that I left out. Damn. See, that's why I didn't want to answer that, man.
Who's the other one?
Country Wayne.
Oh, Country Wayne. Yeah, shout out to him. He's another one that's killing it on the business side.
Absolutely.
Making a bunch of money on Facebook.
So now that you've obviously the tax bill was what it was. Yeah. In a sense, you become the breadwinner of the family. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the power of no. What's that like, right? You're now the CEO of the family. And everybody's looking at you like, yeah. I know you can help me. Yeah. I know you can. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's one of those hard things, man. But I look out, though. I haven't gotten to that point of saying, like, no, like, yet. But nobody has asked for, like, a big, big amount yet. You know what I'm saying? But I know as I grow, you know, people start asking.
We heard about that.
Yeah. Stupid shit, man. Everybody's expenses just get more expensive. I haven't really said no to any family, friends, anything like that yet. I try to help out everybody, but yeah, like I said, after this interview, I shouldn't have said the figures. I try to take care of everybody.
I appreciate you, bro. Anything that you want to make people aware of, like what's next? What's your 5-10 year vision for yourself and for your company?
We're gonna be the biggest company running these films and TV soon, man, for sure. Y'all look out for Lifers.
For Lifers.
For Lifers, man.
For Lifers.
And praise him.
Yeah.
That's next.
Praise this.
Praise this. See? Praise him and this.
Praise him. What, so you're going to gospel? You're going to gospel man. Tour?
Oh, we got to praise him. And praise this.
Oh, my God.
I appreciate you, bro.
Nah, thank
you.
Y'all, man. Y'all thank are dope, man. Thank
appreciate
y'all,
you, man. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming.
That's a wrap for Drewski, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Somebody cue the smoke machine. Hey, it's Troy and Rashad from Assets Over Liabilities. This episode's word, gross profit. This is the Asset Journal brought to you by Ally. Gross profit is the profit a company makes after deducting the costs associated with making and selling its products, or the costs associated with providing its services.
Gross profit is your bottom line, the money you take home at the end of the day after expenses. This is one of the most important numbers to pay attention to when expanding your business. Only here on Revolt.
Yeah, another legendary episode, man. Appreciate you coming.
I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all doing it.
Keep killing
What's
it,
What's happening, man? I can't wait to watch this.
You're doing it the right way, man. Yeah. Keep doing it, man.
Appreciate that, brother. Thank you. I can get back out here in my Lambo. So I'm leaving. I ain't getting in that Lexus. I'm not doing that. I flipped the Lexus, though. Oh, I see what y'all doing. Y'all put me back in the same car I came in. I get to walk by the stuff. I don't get to have it.
It's good scenery. It's good scenery. Oh,
man. Eduardo. It's my nigga right here, man. You get a chance to meet my boys?
No, not really.
What's up, bro? What's up, man?
Jose.
How you doing?
Jose.
Ah. Should've known. My fault.
I know how that can
Should've
be.
Should've known.
Appreciate y'all boys, man. All right.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.